Our first reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, and can be found on page 1144 of the Church Bible. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I will always thank God for you because his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful.
Our gospel reading this morning is from Mark chapter 13, starting at verse 24. It can be found on page 1019 of the Pew Bibles, page 1019, Mark 13, starting at verse 24. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Heather. Notice that the door was mentioned in the reading. It's amazing, eh? Yeah. Simon's going to come and speak to us in a minute. I know Simon's been suffering with his voice and with a nasty cough, but he's been quite quiet since we started, so you're looking forward to hear what Simon has to say in a moment. So let's just pray for us and for Simon. Father God, we ask that you'll prepare each of us to hear your word as we open our Bibles together. We ask that you'll bless Simon right now and prepare him to speak. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Before we jump into the topic this morning, which is the call to be watchful, I just want to apologise for my rather croaky and husky voice this morning. It's a function of coughing incessantly, it seems, for the last week. I think Sue knows what I'm talking about. And it's been exacerbated by the rather chilly weather we've had as well. So if I'm even more incoherent than normal, I apologise. I'll leave it in Ian's capable hands to try and give you some kind of volume. But if you're wearing a hearing aid, you might want to turn it up rather loud. So, here we are, the first Sunday in Advent 2023. Only 22 sleeps till Christmas Day. The elf is on the shelf across the land. Haskins is teeming with shoppers. Christmas lights are popping up everyone. Has anyone been down Wayman's Avenue? It's lighting the whole of Bournemouth. Go and have a look. My wife has been to the Winchester Christmas Market already, twice. Tickets for Christ the King's reception and nursery nativity play have been released to an expectant audience. Finally, David Jones has been seen padding around all over the parish delivering St. Andrew's Christmas flyers. It is beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. But it is really important, as Lee said at the beginning, as all of this is going on around us, that we keep our focus as we go through this season of Advent, that we keep our eyes on the real issue that should be before us at this time of the year. To remind ourselves that this season of Advent is about the anticipation of the coming of Jesus. And reminding ourselves that this has two focuses. The anticipation of the incarnation, the coming of Jesus to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. But not only that, the anticipation also of his second coming. And we're going to look at that in a little while when we look at our reading from Mark 13. Let's just remind ourselves a bit about Mark's gospel. It's probably the first of the gospels to be written, probably written somewhere around AD 60 or 70. So it's been written within a generation of Jesus' death and resurrection. It's a big book written based around direct evidence from the eyewitnesses of what went on around Jesus. So it's a composition. Its composition is very relevant, very topical, as all the evidence about Jesus and what he had done is made into a written record for those who would follow, slightly more detached from the actual events. And that then brings us to our extract from the gospel that's before us this morning. Turn, if you would, if you've got a Bible in front of you, to Mark chapter 13 and verses 24 to 37. I think Sue said it was 1019 in the church Bibles. And the first thing we notice is that this is a second part of a conversation going on between Jesus and his disciples. As we start our reading, Jesus is referring back to what he has just been discussing. So let's just drop back to the beginning of the chapter and see what the first part of the discussion is all about, because it's important to what we're going to think about this morning. We're in the second half of Mark's gospel. Jesus has entered Jerusalem on the first Palm Sunday morning. So we're set this morning in the midst of the first Holy Week, leading up to Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus is being quizzed by the religious elite of the day, and he's answering them and then countering them with some hard-hitting parables about the state of the religious life of the people of God and of their leadership. Like, for example, the parable of the tenants that's at the beginning of chapter 12. He's just left the temple with his disciples when they start to comment on how wonderful the place is. They might have been talking about how lovely the doors were. But Jesus dampens their enthusiasm, pointing out that it is destined not to last. He warns them that its days are in fact quite short-lived. And not very long after Mark pens his gospel, the temple was destroyed in AD 70 by the Romans. Jesus points to this, to the awful happenings that will befall this city in the next couple of decades. There's going to be a horrific turmoil and suffering. And the disciples are going to have to keep their wits about them as this time unfolds. And Jesus ends the previous section with this warning. Verse 23. So, be on your guard. I have told you everything in advance. So, be on your guard, Jesus warns his disciples. And that is where our passage picks up this morning. This call to be on guard, to be watchful. And that's our theme for this morning. This call to be watchful. And this is one of the dominant pictures in this passage before us. That all of God's people being watchmen. I'm sure some of you will remember this.
Come on.
I'm heading to the Prancing Pony.
Rabbits. Four rabbits. What's more, and as a child, by your talk, what business brings you to breed?
We wish to stay at the inn. Our business is our own.
All right, young sir. I meant no offence. It's my job to ask questions after nightfall. There's talk of strange folk abroad. Can't be too careful.
Those of you who have watched Lord of the Rings or read the books will remember that Frodo and Sam and Pippin and Merry are on the run from the Black Riders trying to get to Bree to meet up, hopefully, with Gandalf. But having given their pursuers the slip, they arrive at Bree and are confronted by this guy whose job it is to keep the town safe by watching the gate after dark, making sure no undesirables get in and infiltrate the town. He takes his job as watchman very seriously. No sleep for him. Out in all weathers to secure the safety of his fellow townsmen and women. In one of the Psalms, it says this, Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. The disciples and the followers of Jesus are called to be watchful, to wait, and to put their hope in the Lord more than waiting for the watchman's relief in the morning. And this leads us to the main thrust of this passage we've got before us. The point that Jesus is now trying to get across to the disciples and to us, that the Son of Man is coming. He's coming again. We don't know the time, we don't know the hour, so we must be on our guard. We must be alert. And above all, we must watch. Watch like the watchman of Bree. And it will present us with an important question to ask ourselves as we go through. And as we go away this morning. How should I be watchful? If we must be on our guard, if we must be alert, how should I be watchful? What will that mean for me this Advent in the current circumstances we face as followers of Jesus in the latter part of the first quarter of the 21st century? Now, there is much in this passage before us. There is the potential for so many rabbit holes to disappear down. But I would look us to look briefly at three main points before we come back and attempt to answer our big question. How should we be watchful? Three things. There is a certainty about the coming of the Son of Man. There are signs of his coming. And so we need to be on our guard, to be alert, and to be watchful. So let's look at each of these in turn. If you turn to chapter 13, verse 26 to 27, the coming of the Son of Man. Excuse me. At that time, people will see man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the four ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Jesus is using very loaded language here as he explains what is going to happen. He's using powerful imagery from Daniel chapter 7. Hugely significant prophecies about the end times, about what is going to happen when the Lord brings all of his plans to their final fruition. Jesus uses the Son of Man label for himself quite often to make this point. And here this is no exception. But, and we must remember this, he is quite definitive about this. This is something that is going to happen at the given time. They can be very certain of this, and we should be also. One gets the feeling at times that we as the church in this modern age have, for some reason or another, lost the vision of the reality of the second coming of Jesus. We seem to have developed this very relaxed approach to it, or even dismissed it from our thinking, seeing our direction of travel as simply towards the grave and then off to heaven after that. Jesus makes it very plain that there is a very sharp reality that one day he will return. And the truth is, it could just be today or tomorrow. How inconvenient would we find that? Secondly, there are signs that we should be on the lookout for that point to the time approaching. In verse 28, Jesus talks about the fig tree and how if a normal person walking the roads of Palestine in that time would be able to look at fig trees all around them, look at the branches and know exactly what season it was. It is, Jesus says, a clear sign of the times that are around you. In the latter part of the previous section of the chapter, Jesus had highlighted what some of the signs of the age might include. If you turn back to verse 21 and 22. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or look, there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. This, to me, has a very, very contemporary ring to it, and particularly in the Church of England at this end of a turbulent 2023. There are now quite clearly those in the church who are preaching a false gospel. They are preaching things that are contrary to the gospel proclaimed by Jesus and his apostles, and are looking to deceive the elect, the chosen ones of God. So we must look at these signs. We must test what is being taught and endorsed by some parts of the church, and we must be on our guard against it and stand firm against it. We must not allow ourselves to be deceived. Thirdly, we need to be on our guard, we need to be alert, and we need to be watchful. Verse 34. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the cock crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. Jesus draws a picture a bit like our watchman from Bree earlier, one sitting attentively watching for any trouble, being ready to call it out. He says we can't be sat on our hands, hoping all this difficulty goes away and drifting off into complacency and sleepiness. We need to be alert, ready for whatever is coming. And we need to be mindful that we don't know when the Son of Man will come. In the evening, at midnight, or at dawn. Jesus makes it quite plain that this timing is even above his pay grade. Verse 32, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now, we could have a whole theological debate about that verse, but we do not have time this morning. Talk about it over coffee afterwards. Son of Man is coming. Fact, Jesus says. The call upon us is to be ready, and whilst we wait, to be watchful. So, to finish, let's get back to our question. How should I be watchful? This question is critical for each of us today because We have said Jesus is coming back. Of that we can be certain. He's coming back to gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth and to the ends of the heavens. The angels will be sent out to search them out, to find them and to bring them back to be gathered with Jesus into his eternal kingdom. We need to be watchful to ensure we are part of the elect, part of the people of God. So how should I be watchful? How should I be watchful? Well, my tongue's giving up now. Well, it depends on if you're already part of people of God, of those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and given themselves to him in repentance and received his gift of forgiveness. If that's not you this morning, if you don't know that reality as you sit here in this building this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Saviour and Lord today, don't go home this morning without talking to someone who can help you along that way. Help you along to an encounter with the living Lord Jesus. If you sit here this morning and you're unsure about some of these things we've been thinking about this morning, if you're unsure as to whether or not you have that certainty, find someone in the congregation here who you can sit down with and pray with and read the Bible with and journey with you until you have that certainty, that assurance, that when the angels come searching, they will come and find out you. And if you know this stuff, if the life of Christ within you is a living, breathing reality, then that's brilliant. But it doesn't preclude you from being on your guard, from being alert and being watchful. For you, it might mean being that person who gets alongside another who needs some help along the way. It might mean standing up and being strong in the face of the cultural tidal waves beating upon our lives and upon the doors of the church. It might mean to be watchful that the doctrine of the church is not undermined or watered down or discarded. There is so much to being watchful, and each of us needs to prayerfully discern what it means for us individually. The reality for each of us here this morning is that there is work to do and we need to be diligent in it. There simply is not a do-nothing option. Jesus is quite plain as he concludes this discussion. And his answer is for everyone, for all of us. Verse 37. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Let's pray together. Father God, in Jesus, you have promised that you will send him to return, to bring all things to their fruition, all your promises to their fulfillment. We live in the in-between times, between the incarnation and between his return. May we be found watchful. May we work out, each of us, individually, what that means today, tomorrow, and for however long you've given us. We ask this in the name of the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.